Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. And we also know, and you are finding out as you are joining us, that God has given us three commands. And those three commands sum up all of the scriptures, but in them, our life is also summed up in loving God, loving others, and going. And in that is the fullness of Jesus Christ to each and every one of us who would receive it. And in that is the fullness of eternity yet to be revealed. Can I get an amen, church? And may we work towards it. And that's why we're here today. Yes, it is a work. We are not saved by works. However, once we are saved, God has works for us to do. Can I get an amen? But in that, I want you to understand the very reason that we're here today. Again, we're in the book of Mark, so y'all turn in your Bibles. We're going to be in Mark. We're in chapter 6. We're in Mark. We're in chapter 6. And we're going to look at the gospel story here that Jesus has given us through his word. And we're going to look at God knows your value. Now, we're going to read this, and you're going to say to me, you know, Pastor, how does this talk about my value? Well, God is giving us here, through his Son, a picture of our lives. So I'm going to read this. Now, there's a center section here where it talks about John the Baptist, and I've taken that out because it's simply a narrative, because it was during this time that John the Baptist was killed and beheaded. So I'm taking that out of our teaching, though it is part of the historical record, and I don't want us to neglect it. What I want us to see is couched around John's death and his beheading is this story. And this plays an important part into why that is there. Okay? We don't know what our value is. John was beheaded. Wait a minute, wasn't he the precursor of Jesus Christ? Yes, he was. Well, then he was beheaded, and so he lost it all. No, John gained glory. He went out the way God knew he was going to go out, because John said, he has to become more, and I have to become less. And he lived it. But so too may we remember the value of John was far greater than any of us probably realize. So let us read the word of the Lord, and then I've got some illustrations for you. From chapter 6 in the book of Mark, from the first verse through the 13th, and then we're going to jump to 30. Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and the many listeners were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles as these performed by his hands. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses, and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his own relatives and in his own household." And he could do no miracle there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he wondered at their unbelief. And he was going around the villages teaching. And he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. And he instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belt, but to wear sandals. And he added, "Do not put on two tunics." And he said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. Any place that does not receive you or listen to you, as you go out from there, shake the dust off the soles of your feet for a testimony against them." They went out and preached that men should repent. And they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. And then jumping over to verse 30, we are going to pick up again. The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. for there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate, and it is already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go look." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. And he took the loaves and the 2 fishes. He looked up toward heaven. He blessed the food and broke the loaves. And he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 full baskets of broken pieces and also of the fish. There were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. I want to give you some illustrations about what I just spoke in a very different manner. There was a young lady who went to visit her grandpa after she had graduated from college. Grandpa, being a wise man, had an old Mustang that he had parked in the garage. This is a true story, by the way. He had parked in the garage in the 1980s. It was actually in his barn. Covered by dust, covered by chicken poop. I mean, it was a horrible mess just to look at sitting there in this barn. And he said to his granddaughter, "I kept this car because I knew that I would have a grandchild one day, and I wanted to be able to give you something from my youth that would have some value." He said, "Now what I want you to do," he said, "before you do anything," he said, "I want you to take it to the car wash. I want you to wash it up. Then I want you to go to the dealership and ask them how much they would give you for this car." So she went to the car wash. She washed the car. She took it to the dealership, and the dealership offered her $10,000 for the car. She came back home and reported to Grandpa that, you know, they offered her $10,000. That's pretty nice. And Grandpa said, "Well, now I want you to go to the pawn shop downtown and ask the pawn shop what they'll give you." So she goes down to the pawn shop, and the guy at the pawn shop said, "You know, it's an old vehicle. It really needs some repair. It's awful dirty, and it's so outdated. I can give you $1,000. She came back, and she was astonished. You know, the dealership offered her $10,000, and now here the pawn shop wants $1,000. He said, "Yep." He said, "Next week is Carlisle. If you're from Pennsylvania, we all know what Carlisle is. It's one of the biggest car flea markets in the United States. It attracts hundreds of thousands of people." She took the car to Carlisle, and she went out there, and she started walking around. She had it sitting there. She was offered $85,000 for that vehicle at Carlisle Car Show. $85,000. She came back and reported to Grandpa, and Grandpa said, "Are you going to sell it?" She said, "No, it's worth so much more than all that money because you are giving it to me." What does that say about value? Almost every Sunday, I have a bottle of water, and if I don't, Miss Jen sees to it that I do. This bottle of water, if I were to fill it out of my tap, costs 1.3 cents. If I buy it from Aldi's, which is where this brand comes from, it's 12 cents per bottle. If I take this bottle and I go to a baseball game or a football game, this bottle's worth about $2.50. However, if I go to a professional sports arena and I try to buy this bottle of water at a professional sports arena, it can cost as much as $7.50. Again, it's the same thing, just like the car was all the same thing. What gave it the different value? What gives it the different value is the company it keeps. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. When we look at this story, we know this side of the cross that Jesus Christ is very God. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? But yet, when he went back to the place where he came into existence, please note how I said that, where he was born, they saw him as that little boy who was doing all these things. And rather than seeing him for who he truly was, they remembered him for who they wanted him to be. Because at that point in time, before all this stuff happened, they had everything over him because they were over him. And therefore, he was of little value to them because they had already set his value from when he was a little boy. He was merely the son of a carpenter. In fact, they knew the controversy around his birth. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Because it does not say anything here about Joseph, does it? Because they knew Joseph was not his father. But they knew not who his father was. We do. And therefore, he had no value. In fact, so little value, he was only able to heal a couple of sick people. Because they would not put any faith in him. So then Jesus looks at the 12 from that very same place. Please understand, he didn't leave. He's at the very same place. He looks at the 12 and he says, now I'm going to send you out. So Jesus sends them out, and by all articles, I need you to understand, it's the same thing he does with you and I. He sends us out. Once we have received him, he sends us out. And when we go out from Jesus, please catch these words, when we go out from Jesus, we will have some value. That we will actually be able to do some things. And it says that they went out and they cast out demons and they brought healing to many people. Does it give us a number? No, it just says many people. We need to understand this is the 12 cent bottle of water compared to the $2 bottle of water. Jesus had the same water, it was worth 12 cents. Put it into the hands of the disciples, and they went out from him, and it was worth about $2.50. But you see, God's not into the $2.50. He's not into the 12 cents. God wants that $7.50 bottle of water because that's what he knows you're worth. He knows you are worth so much more that all of eternity will not hold all of us. I want you to think about that because we go forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It never ends. There is a value so much greater than all of us can understand. But we need to understand that also there is value in the ones that we're going to because they become like us. Now, the last thing that I want you to see here in this, now, no, I'm not done preaching. You all know me too well. But the last part of the illustration is this. When Jesus took the 12 with him and they went away, what happened? He said, come to a secluded place with me. And the people saw and they came after. What did they see? They saw the value. And they came after the value, which was what? The disciples with Jesus. The disciples with Jesus. And 5,000 were fed. 5,000 men We don't know how many were fed because there were women and children there, and they were never part of the censuses that were taken. It was only men that were added to the censuses. So we need to understand that when we couple ourselves with Jesus Christ and we go as the church of Jesus Christ out into this world, the value is exponentially multiplied. You have a value. God knows your value. Outside of Him, how many of us are worth a whole lot of anything? I ain't worth the trouble or the time of day it takes to get to know me. But in Christ Jesus, I have a little bit of worth. And people may want to get to know me, and I have friends because of who I am becoming. That's the apostles going out from Jesus. But what happens when we go out together and Jesus is in our midst? All of a sudden, we have a value that is so exponential that how many times 12 or 13, if you want to add it properly, is 5,000? It's somewhere in the 200 range of exponential potential. And that's the value I want you to understand. You know, there are a lot of us here who, you know, I'm getting older and, you know, I'm just not worth that much anymore. I can't get around. Woe is me. Would you get over it? You've gotten through that stuff so you can help somebody who's already there. Or somebody who's just beginning to face it. And you know how the victory works. You already have the victory. We're just simply waiting to get there. Can I get an amen out of the peanut gallery? Amen. I mean, it is so amazing. We know our value. He has said who we are. We are a child of God. He has known your name since the beginning of the foundations of all of creation. And yet in that we allow Satan to rob all of this stuff from us because the world is affected. Do you notice that? You see, the one piece that we all take out of here and we just don't look at is the fact that what was holding these people back? This world and the ruler thereof. We have authority over him. Didn't we just read in chapter 5 about the demoniac? And how Christ drove out legions of demons? I want you to think about that. Those demons were fled and went into the pigs and caused an economic disaster that would have ruined the area. Think about that. And yet, here's the one that could save. This is the same Jesus that we're talking about here. And what did they do with him? They told him to leave. He could have restored all their fortunes 100-fold. And they told him to leave. God knows our value. Do we know his value? You see, that's what this all comes down to. The disciples, when they went out, how pleased do you think they were of themselves that they were able to do a little bit of something? How many of us are pleased with our little bit of something? Look at what I can do. You know, it reminds me of Frosty the Snowman or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That was the one with the abominable snowman. And the dentist guy says, look at what I can do with his pliers and pulls the teeth out of the monster. Brothers and sisters, do you realize we can pull the teeth out of the monster and it can't hurt us no more? You have a great value when you are walking in and with Jesus Christ, and nothing can separate it from you except your own self and what you believe from other people around you. Now, I'm going to pick on some of you. No, I'm not going to name names. But how many of you here have allowed someone to get under your saddle and make you feel like you were dirt? I've done it too many times. I won't do it anymore. You don't like me? There's the door. It opened when you came in, and it'll open when you leave. I am not forcing you to stay. But if you want to come back, come on in. Because you're not coming to me, you're coming to Jesus Christ. Because he's the only message of salvation that I have. And he's the only truth that I'll ever proclaim. And if I do otherwise, then you got to get me out that door. Can I get an amen from the church? Because that's the way it works. I'm going to tell you all right now, I see your value. Am I God? Can I see all of it? No. But I know whose you are, and I trust him, and I know he has put a value in you that you are going to usurp even myself. I'm just your teacher. Do you know what every teacher's ambition is? That every student that comes under them would go beyond them. That is every teacher's ambition. Why do you think they're teaching the kids what they're teaching them in school? The teachers are so deprived in half of the things that they're trying to teach our kids because they want them to be even more deprived. Now, we do have some good teachers out there. In fact, I got one sitting here in the audience this morning, in the congregation. We ain't an audience, amen? We are a congregation. And he wants to put value into our kids. He wants to put moral structure into our kids because that's foundation. And from there, they will build. And when they come back, I can remember the one teacher, and I'm going to share this with you. I can remember the one teacher who told me I can succeed. And it was not until I was in high school. And he was my shop teacher. I became a machinist because of him. And later I went back to find him because I was no longer a machinist. I had transitioned to become a pastor. I had left the machine trades, and I kind of felt like I'd let my mentor down. You're all going to love this. I've never shared this with anybody. I found out after trying to find him for 3 months through my daughter-in-law that he was the pastor at his grandparents' church. He left teaching kids to become a minister. I was under his tutelage, and I didn't even know what he was tutoring me for. But here I am, and I'm still following in those footsteps. He's now gone. I get to go on. And I'm telling you, God knows what he's doing. He knows the value of every person he has placed in your life beforehand to get you where he needs you to be. Don't underestimate who you are or what you are, because you are a child of God, and he is going to bring you through, and the victory is already ours in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen, church? You and I need to understand this world is going to tear you down. It's going to want you to think you're the problem. Well, guess what? We are the problem in a world that's trying to destroy our children and our lives, because we're going to stop it. Can I get an amen? Because the day is going to come when God says, okay, dear church, enough. The sin has reached its fullness. The fullness of the Gentiles has come in before me. And if you read the Old Testament, we know what that means. The stench of our sin has finally reached to the point where it is at God's nostrils, and he can't take it any longer. And he's going to pull the church out of here because he cannot allow us to be here until the one who restrains is taken away. And he has said to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So therefore we will not be left without the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit is pulled away, we too must be pulled away, because the Holy Spirit is our guarantor unto life eternal. Can I get an amen? You have been put in a place of value where God himself resides in you and works through you unto the betterment of this world. Now, does that mean everything's going to get hunky-dory and we're going to get a brand new president and everything's going to go fine and we're all going to make money and it's going to be kumbaya? No. Read the book. It's going to continue getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, but we are not to give up. Can I get an amen? Because in the giving up, Satan has won. Jesus never gave up. We can never give up. We may find ourselves as the disciples in the middle of this story where they were out there by themselves. They didn't have God with them because we have walked away from God. We are of little value, but there's still value. But those times of value, may they be used to draw us back to that place where we understand the true value we have. John's disciples, when they heard of John's death, how do you think they felt? Because they had followed him. They had put all their trust in him. But did not John tell them, "Here is the one of whom I am preaching"? And many of John's followers began to follow Jesus. What about those who didn't follow Jesus? God had to end John's time of popularity to allow Jesus to rise up. Because people were still thinking that John was the Christ, and they needed to know he wasn't. So God used a very sinful man to do a very hurtful thing, and John's life was taken. But John's life was already spent. John's life had already been worked out. Why was he here? He was here as the precursor to the Christ, to open the way. And John knew that. And John gave his life to that, literally. Are we willing to give our lives to what God has for us and then be no more? The answer to that question better be yes, because I hate to tell us all this, but we're going to die one day. And if we don't die, we're going to get raptured. Woohoo! Y'all got your ticket? You better get your ticket, because I don't want to be left without him. And I'll guarantee you I want the value he brings in my life. Because there's nothing that I do, nothing that I plan that does not have value, not just for me, but for others. Remember, it's love God, love others, and go. God shows his love back to me by giving me blessing, that I may be a blessing to others. But when I go, do I go alone? No, I go loving God and loving others. So I'm taking God with me, and I pray I'm bringing others with me. That's who you are. And when you are out there, I want you to understand. I want you to understand. You're out here on the internet. You may be in Indiana. I know I'm too close, Pete. I'm sorry. You may be out in Indiana. You may be in Montana. I know we got John out there in Montana. Hi, John. God bless you. We got folks in Somerset County. We've got folks in Arizona that watch us. We've got folks in Texas that watch us. We have folks in Connecticut that watch us. We have folks throughout the United States. And no matter where you are, no matter where you are part of this congregation. And we all go with you. Can I get an amen? That you are part of our prayers. We may be separated by time. We may be separated by space. But we are not separated in the Spirit. Can I get an amen? And that's the truth of who you are. Because God ties us together. It's not something you and I do. It's everything he does. He places the value in you. He sets the things before you. How well are you going to do? I'm going to tell you right now. It's horrible to fall down, isn't it, sis? This past Tuesday, Root fell. And it scared the bejeebies out of me. I think that's the quickest I've ever made that trip. Because I didn't know what I was going to get into when I got there. Because she literally answered the phone. I said, "Hello, sis." She said, "Who is this?" And I'm like, "Well, something's wrong because you called me." And she said, "I fell." "Where are you?" "I just needed to know location." She said, "I'm between my bed and the closet." I said, "You're at home." "Yep, I'll be there in 20 seconds. I think it's the fastest I ever got out of my house and got down there. Now, I know she felt horrible. She felt incompetent. She felt less than whole. She felt like less than a woman because she couldn't do what she needed to do. And yes, I'm telling on my sis. She's my sis, and I'm proud of her. And I want you all to know I'm proud of every one of you, and I'll do the same for every one of you. I got down there, and I'd like to say I picked her up and got her back straight. Ain't gonna happen. I waited for the paramedics to get there. And together, the three of us got her on her feet and got her going again. Because you see, folks, there are sometimes we just can't do it alone, but we can get there as quickly as possible. And that's what it's about. You give of yourself until there's no more to give. And when you think you have nothing yet to give, that's when you find out how much you're really worth. Because we show up. And I want you all to understand that. The moment you don't call me, you have allowed Satan to defeat you. Because I'll guarantee you, I'll show up and there's going to be paramedics with me. And by that I mean the health and well-being of the church. Can I get an amen? Because you are the paramedics. You are the spiritual paramedics of this world. And the world needs you. Each and every one. You may think you're less than because, well, I'm 62. And, well, I'm not 62 yet. I'm going to be 62. I've been corrected by both my wife and my sis. I'm almost there. I'll get there one day. That's what I have to tell myself. But as we see ourselves, do we truly see ourselves? Or do we see our incapabilities? We need to understand God has far more capability built into you than you will ever imagine. I'm going to look at this man. I already used him once. The lives you touch, you may never see how they fare out. But there's going to be a day in glory when you're going to have a whole bunch of little fifth graders walking up to you. They won't be in fifth grade no more. They will have graduated well beyond. And they're going to say, do you remember when? Do you remember when? And you're going to say, I forgot all about that. They won't. And I can look down the line at every one of you who thinks you meant nothing. And I will tell you, you have no idea what wealth, what value you have placed in my life. You're thinking, but Pastor, what did I give to you? Love, respect, honor, charity. I can't put a monetary value on those things. No one can. Oh, yes, there is someone who can. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he doesn't put just a monetary value on it. He gives us crowns. And we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Pray with me this day, church. Father God, you have placed a value in each and every one of us that we can't even begin to comprehend. Mainly because the evil one doesn't want us to see it. So Lord, I pray you will open our eyes because you're not going to be showing us our value. You're going to show us the value of other people in our lives. And from that, we will reckon a bit of just how important we are. Because just as your son was the one who came into the world to show us value, now you're using this son, and that means each and every one of you that is listening to this prayer, to be that value to someone else. It's called life and death. And life in you is eternity. And we cannot put a value on that, for it has no end. So Lord, use us, strengthen us, and bring us the hope and peace that only you have. And allow our hearers to see their value and know the true worth of your love, of your saving grace, of the cost of every drop of blood that flowed on Calvary's mountain. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.